Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning that came out in the cold, and we're so glad that you're with us today on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and we want to welcome all of you, and we want to welcome all of those that will be listening online later on, and a little later on, we're going to be talking a little bit about what is essential for you. And we're going to be looking at that famous chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 on love that Paul talks about. And so as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together for our call to worship. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Alone, God's works, great marvels. God remembers us when we were cast down. God gives food to all his creatures. Well, let's join together there and turn in our hymn books to 392, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're going to be singing three verses of Showers of Blessing this morning.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshed. Savior above, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. The valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Lord, grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the shower. Let's sing the chorus again. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. O God, source of all goodness, your grace comes fresh every morning. In each new day you give us light. We praise you for your unfailing love that satisfies our need and shows us the way to follow. Center us now so we may receive all you have desired to give us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to go on to our next hymn there, 618, Pass It On. It's an oldie. And we're going to sing three verses of it this morning.
It only takes a spark to get.
really love that song. There's something about the very ends of those verses about once you've experienced it, you just want to pass it on. Well, let's go ahead, and I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning. Came in to make some copies and the toner cartridge went out and she didn't know how to change it, so I took care of it, and as soon as I changed it, it finished copying off what was already in the system. So we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share as we do that. And I know Sue gave me some. She may share a few of them, but I also have some others here too that we'll be sharing this morning. So somebody this morning. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard any update about what had happened after she had that done, so.
She seemed, before, she was lucky if she could eat something that was really soft, but she seems to be doing better on that. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Debbie Reed is home now.
That's good. Yeah, well, she may be having home therapy come in. I wouldn't be surprised until she gets her strength back. Because when you were laid up that long, yeah, so definitely want to keep Debbie in our prayers. And for Bonnie also. Were you going to share? Go ahead.
David's sister passed away this past Thursday. So
yeah.
Just please keep praying.
Yeah, we want to remember the Maxson and Nelson family in our prayers. For that loss. You know, she had been battling those lung issues for, several years now. And then she got COVID pneumonia, and that was just not a good thing at all. So definitely want to keep David. And I don't know, did he know yet when he's flying out? They were waiting on.
He's going to be cremated. And
are they going to wait on the, on the memorial or something?
3 weeks.
Okay.
So,
yeah. That would make sense. I'm not surprised about that. So, okay. Any others? Others this morning? Yeah.
And then I have two joys about the fire in Colorado. Jenny Walters, I got in touch with them, and they're doing fine. Their house was just smoke-filled. Everything around them was gone. And the other one is Sharon Bruce's son. His house was burned to the ground, and they have a place for him to live. They're looking for a builder.
Okay. Okay. So we want to remember then some of those that are still recovering from the Colorado fires. So that would be the Woodward and Thomas families that lost the loved ones. Okay. And yeah, so I think I have all of those. And then you said something about Beth for Tess. Did you say anything about that, or did I miss that?
No, I didn't know. She booked that happen sometime the end of this month, and Elaine texted me this morning, and she apparently had some, but she don't know any results yet.
Okay. Okay. She's been moved over. We had her on here for several weeks, but she's been moved over to the monthly now. I moved quite a few over to the monthly so that you know where there are, but we're so a few of them we still were going to be lifting up. And then I saw, yeah.
Yeah, Shirley Powell's Grove family. Shirley has been a faithful customer for our Carmel's. I've delivered them to her for the last several years. She goes way back in the church. Her mom, I don't know where dad is in the old picture down in the social room. And she's got a lot of roots here. And she was, I'd advise anybody to read her obituary. They did a great job on her, but she really enjoyed life and was very faithful.
She passed away?
Yeah, she passed away this week. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not familiar. What was the last name?
Powell's Grove,
P-A-L. Oh, it's all one word.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Powell's Grove.
Okay.
Her husband worked at Barry Funeral Home for several years.
Oh, okay.
And she was so pleasant to go and talk to, and in a victory it tells about how she told funny stories about the past and all that kind of stuff. Somebody did a good job of writing that victory up for us.
So. Yeah. So we want to remember the Powell's Grove family then. Any other? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes. And that's a tough one. Yeah, because there's lots of different things that get affected by that autoimmune. So someone else, Priscilla.
Carl Phillips died this week, too.
Who?
Carl Phillips.
Yes.
The fiddler.
He's a fiddler in that band.
Oh, yes. I did see somebody post that on... on Facebook, yes.
He's been here several times.
Yeah, so we want to remember the Phyllis family. And, yeah.
Uncle John, Hozak.
Yes, thank you for...
And it's more private, but Don.
Yes, yeah. Don, my cousin, who needs... It's kind of unspoken, but he needs... desperate situation there. But Uncle John also is my sister, or my mom's sister's husband. He's been battling it's something similar for about a month over at OSU, but it's really gotten bad. Sepsis and blood infections throughout his body, and it's very serious. The kids, it's tough because they were wanting to try to get to see him and they're not letting him in. And yeah, so we appreciate your prayers for him, John. Appreciate that. He was a math teacher at Sydney High School and also the high school wrestling coach for years at Sydney High School, John Hozak. So appreciate your prayers for him. Anybody else?
Well, Brad and I have some good news. Last weekend, John asked Erin to marry him. She said yes. I don't know.
Yep.
I wasn't
surprised on that one. Yes. Yes. Yes, she's already called me and setting up dates for 2023. She goes, yeah, I wanted to check with you to make sure you didn't have anything going on in 2023. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't even scheduled anything in 2023. Oh, that's great. That's great. Yes. So I thought you were going to ask for traveling mercies as you go down into the sunshine for a while, for a month. So, yeah. But that is good news. We're thankful for that. And also a couple others, and I'll check again with her. We want to continue remembering Alice Schaefer. She's still having some side effects after the COVID thing that she's been through. John, her husband, was like me. 4 or 5 days and it pretty much over. And she's been battling. Also, I talked to Ellie this week. Both her and her husband definitely need prayers. He's battling COVID pneumonia, and it's a weird thing that's going on. He just... what's been affecting her. She's better, but it's still hanging there. She has some of those longer lasting things that are kind of hanging on because they both had it. And so we definitely need to keep them in our prayers. And I also wanted to thank everybody for your prayers for me. 3 days were probably the worst, but I slept through most all the 3 days. So, and by day 5, I was good. Day 6, since I didn't have any symptoms anymore on 5. 6, I got out. We were allowed to get out, but you got to wear a mask for 5 more days. That's why we didn't have church last Sunday. I was teasing with Dana and Kathy. I said, I guess I could have hooked my lapel onto the mask and we still could have had something, but we thought because of some of the others that had gotten sick during that, around that same time from the church, we thought maybe we'd take a week break and make sure it didn't pass. And, so thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that. Smoke is doing much better, not as much pain. Plus they got some pain management going on there. And I was really glad I was talking to Karen about that. I was really glad to hear that because I know because of how overwhelmed many of the hospitals are right now with COVID things, they're not doing a lot of extra little things that they normally would do, you know. So I was thankful for that. Any others this morning? Yes.
I have not spoken, please.
Okay. Who?
Mike Painter.
So, the last I had heard, they both had it, right? But he was having harder times with it. I think he may have gotten that pneumonia thing, but I hadn't heard anything lately from her. I got the text when... She had said it out when she heard about me from the prayer chain about what they were facing and everything. And she did say it was getting cold down there, and they're like in South Texas. So, yeah.
I've seen Richard Walker. I brought him another chocolate milkshake, and he helped me go to the door with his walker. So he's,
Yes. Thank you for saying something, because I was going to say and I almost forgot. Richard is home, but he's still going to have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. But they just wanted to get out of there and get him home, so he could rest better and be taken care of a little bit better. So I don't blame him. I'm hoping to go over and see him this week. But yes, thank you. Who brought up Jackie and Daryl Painter too. So yeah, unspoken. Okay, we got several of those.
Doug and Jody had a great grandchild born this week. He weighed 10 pounds and 9 ounces. He was 22 inches long.
Kathy was telling me that about that this week, and I'm like, holy mackerel!
He was a big boy.
Yes, he was. Woo! Yeah, so. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I almost forgot my brother Roger.
Yes, thank you.
Turned 94 in January, and he tripped in the kitchen and fell straight backwards, skinned up both of his elbows, and got a pretty good knock on the back of his head, I guess. But he went to ER and everything, no broken bones or anything. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and we are thankful for that. So we want to remember Roger in our prayers. And I was telling Tom, I saw him coming out of, the two of them coming out of Kay's Hamburgers on Friday night. And so he had his cane with him, which I told Tom I was glad to see just to make sure. So, but yeah. So any others then? If not, we are going to go to prayer. We have lots of them again this morning. So we want to keep all of those in prayer, and we'll give you a chance to do that as she plays this morning. She was just playing. And Lord, we're grateful that we can turn to you, that your love never fails, and that you are there for us, giving us strength and encouragement. And many times you do that through others that are there for us, helping us and encouraging us and being there with us during our times of need. And Lord, as we think about all of that, we're thinking about those that have been mentioned. So many today, Lord, and we're just asking for your touch today. We're thinking of Roger, thinking of Jackie and Daryl. We're thinking of David and Ellie. We're thinking of Don this morning. We're thinking of Uncle John. We're thinking of Bonnie this morning. We're thinking of Debbie. We're thinking of Richard. We're thinking of Beth today. All of those that have been mentioned in Smoke, God and Alice. We just pray that your healing touch would be extended to them, Lord, whether it's a physical, something physical, or whether it's something mental or psychological or just strength or healing or whatever it may be. We just ask, as we've lifted up each of their names, that you would touch and that you would work in their lives as only you can do. Lord, we lift up those that'll be traveling. And we ask that you'll be with them and keep them safe. We lift up these unspoken requests that have been mentioned, God, that you will just meet those needs and bless and minister today. We think of the Phyllis family, the Maxson and Nelson family, the Woodward and Thomas family today, all of those that have been mentioned that are in need of grace and strength, and many others, Lord. Some we may know, some we may not, that have lost loved ones to COVID and other things here lately. Lord, we just pray for your comfort and your grace and your strength today, as only you can do. Thank you that we can lean on you during the times when We're not sure how we're going to make it through, and we're grateful for your strength to carry us through those times today. And Lord, we do lift up thinking about those in Kentucky and the areas with the tornado and the fires out in Colorado and even out on the West Coast there. And Lord, we're even thinking about those that are on the East Coast right now up in the Northeast that's facing those 2 feet of snow and blizzard conditions, God. We just pray that your grace would be extended there. And Lord, we think about all of our doctors and nurses and the staff and the hospitals and the clinics. We even think about our schools right now and all of our teachers, just the overwhelming of everything that's going on right now. We just pray for strength and grace and that you will be with them through all of that. And we're so thankful for that. And Lord, I just ask your continued blessing for each one that has come out today, or maybe even those that tune in and listen this week. God, you will just extend your blessing and strength and grace to each of them. Bless the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word. May you just encourage us and strengthen us and send us forth to be your people in the world. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us in prayer. And also, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. Just want to thank you for your continued giving. Also, I want to just say something for those that may be listening online that have been mailing in their offerings. I want to say thank you to all of you because that's your giving is how we continue the work of the ministry here of our church. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Well, let's join together there for our dedication. Oh God, we thank you for your great generosity. All that we are and all that we have is a gift from you. Grant that the offering may prosper under your guidance. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians, we're going to be looking at the very last sentence of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 31b through 13:13 this morning. You can follow along on the PowerPoint. I'm going to show you an even better way. If I speak in the tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It's happy. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, and think like a child. But now I have become a man. I put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain. These three things, and the greatest of these is love. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, a little girl was dressed in her Sunday best, and she was running as fast as she could so she wouldn't be late for Sunday school class. As she ran, she prayed, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late. Lord, please don't let me be late." While she was running and praying, she tripped on a curb and fell, and she got her clothes dirty and tore a little section of her dress. She got up, brushed herself off, and started running again. And as she ran, she once again began to pray, "Lord, please don't let me be late, but please don't shove me either." Kind of interesting the way we sometimes have these views of God and our thinking and so forth. And this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the essential way of life. I think Paul is trying to get us to see something there. So let me ask you a few questions here as we think about it. Are you familiar with these famous words? Love is a many splendid thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. Now, I'm not sure. I think I know who's saying this, but love is in the air. I think that's how that goes, but I cannot remember quite when I was thinking about that. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. So these love songs, or these love song cliches, I should say, reminds us that our world is filled with the language of love, so to speak. And you know what? We use that word for a lot of things. Most often when we hear the word love, and you even see it on our bulletin cover this morning, is usually when we hear the word love, we think of couples and relationships and everything. A little bit with the kids, I was sharing a little bit about Valentine's Day coming up and all of that. But you know, and that's the normal one. And then we use that word. And I was reading somebody this week that was talking about the difference between the word love and like and so forth. But I mean, we use it love for everything. I love God. I love chocolate. I love my car. I love my pets. I love football. I love my family and so forth. And I think for Paul, love is more than just sentimental feelings that we might post on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram or hang on a locket around our neck on a chain, you know. When Paul is speaking about love, I think Paul is speaking about God's love or Jesus's love, because of the word agape that is used there, that conveys this love that is a choice and an action, and it's often selfless in its motives. But not just that, because Paul would go on to think about how God's love has a way ultimately of transforming us when we experience, like we sang that song, once you've experienced it, that's when something happens, you know, that we sang earlier, and how we're transformed by that love. And so I want us to think then about how love then becomes an essential way of life. The question was up there earlier on what's essential for you or to you. You know, we may have a lot of different views, my kids, my grandkids, you know, da da da. But Paul seems to summarize, especially when he says faith, hope, and love. I mean, who would think that Paul would say love is greater than faith? And that's all we ever hear usually growing up in the churches is faith. You know, you got to have faith. But Paul would say, no, you got to have love. And so let's look at it. And often, and I preach sermons many times on this chapter. I have probably maybe years ago, 10 years ago or so, whenever it was, I preached it here once. And we often preach it as this is what we're supposed to practice in our lives, this kind of love. But I want to look at it from a different angle, and I want us to think about it in terms of this being God's love working in and through our lives. A little bit different spin there. So let's look at it. First of all, as we think about this, let's think about it in this way. God's love is vital. Paul would clearly understand. In fact, Jesus would, the entire New Testament. Why? And Paul is blunt here. He's probably more blunt than anybody else except maybe John and 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, those letters there. But here's what I want you to see. Without God's love, we are ineffective. Paul says, we're nothing. We just aren't doing anything if we... So here's what I want us to think about. Without the motivating presence of God... And I'm kind of borrowing Paul's language here. Our most impressive words would sound harsh in somebody's ear, like a noisy gong, if we didn't have love. How many of you remember that TV show called The Gong Show? Remember that? That was so funny. I loved that. I was probably in elementary, and we used to watch it when it would come on, you could just see the person that was giving their talent, and all of a sudden one of the judges would start to stand up, and you're like, oh no, everything's changed because they're going to go over and hit that gong, and you're off, you know. So imagine for a moment, and this really struck me this week. I was thinking about my own life. you know, because I'm a preacher and my words mean a lot, you know. And I was thinking, Lord, please don't ever let me do anything without doing it in love, because I don't want it to be harsh and clangy and gongy in people's heads and ears and spirits and everything else. And so it just reminds me, without God's love, as Paul says, there are messages, our revelations from God, our knowledge that God may give us, our faith, or even our acts of charity seem empty without love. And it just, it was kind of challenging me. And so I was thinking about it this way, love, and you've heard it something like this before, always takes the high road. You know, you've probably been challenged by somebody or whatever before, and I've done it a few times, about taking the high road, and you know, instead of the gutter, you know, getting down in the gutter with sometimes somebody else when you're battling out with them. Because Paul says that God's love is the best way forward. He said that. That's why I use that one sentence from the end of chapter 12, is let me show you the better way, the essential thing, so to speak. And that's God's love. It's greatest, even greater than faith and hope. And Paul says elsewhere that, and especially when you get into 14, in light of chapter 13, that love marks us out as spiritual people. He says we can be fleshly people or we can be spiritual people. Now, he's not denying that we live in the flesh and in this body. That's not the distinction there. But he's saying that we can take the high road and everything else may come to an end, as he says at the end, but love will not come to an end. That's why God's love must undergird everything and that we say in life, in our faith, and even what we're willing to sacrifice for. If not, then as one translation says, we're just full of hot air. And so I was thinking about that this week, and I'm kind of presenting this out, but there's a lot of fingers that are going back towards me this morning because I'm the preacher and I use the words and everything else, you know. So let's break that down. We know God's love is vital and why it is, because of what it does through us and making a difference and in being effective in people's lives, not ineffective. So what is this love? Well, God's love is, and we're just going to look at them. We're going to look at three things here and then I'll look at two that are not. First of all, love is patient. Not my best attitude. Something that I struggle with. I like the translation that we read here. It says, love puts up with a lot. When circumstances and people are bearing down on us. Or another way of thinking about it, it remains calm while waiting. And here's the reason I was thinking about this, and it kind of really struck me. Because timing plays a huge part in with God and with our lives. Because we're always in a hurry. We always want things instantly. I was thinking about that. We don't like to slow down. You know, life kind of drives us in that direction. But with God, timing is everything. And how God brings about things in people's lives. And patience is our part, and that's because it's love, and God's love is patient. That's why God keeps working with people sometimes their whole life, you know. Kind is the next one. Love is kind. It's full of compassion and mercy. It accepts and welcomes all with acts of generosity and compassion and goodness there. All these different terminology and words that can help to describe kind there. And then the last one is kind of an overarching word that I picked, and that's supportive. That's supportive. Not only does Paul say love never fails, but he also says that love always supports, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always endures. That's God's love. That's God's love. And we think about that in relation to ourselves and then how we extend that out. It's a beautiful thing there. And then the third thing I want us to look at is God's love is not. So we're going to do the negative side. And just two things here. First of all, God's love is not destructive. So earlier when I shared that little joke, you know, funny joke, maybe bad theology on that girl's part, thinking God was pushing her or shoved her, you know, kind of a thing there. Let me say something about this. Everybody gets jealous at times. Everybody gets envious. Everybody gets angry at times. But Paul is letting us know that that love, God's love, and that love working through us does not burn with such intense feelings that we start doing other things, the way we treat somebody, the way we act, or the way we put down their successes, or whether we calculate evil, as the wisdom teaching from Proverbs and those kind of things would talk about, or rejoice when people are facing injustice or harm, you know, and it doesn't hold grudges for years. Oh, we've all probably held some grudges once in a while. But the question is are we going to let that continue forever in our lives? And it doesn't burn with these feelings that leads us in the direction of wanting to wrong or harm or hurt. And I say that because I think about through history and even recently in times where Christians or others in the name of religion do those kind of things to other people. That's destructive and harmful and hurtful. And Paul would say that they are blind and they don't know the love of Jesus or the love of God. And so, yeah. Okay, and then the last one there is conceited. That's kind of a human term that we use more. Arrogant, smug, narcissistic. There we go, I'll use some of the modern lingo that sometimes psychologists use, you know. He or she is so narcissistic, you know. Here's some of Paul's words he used. Love doesn't come across as being like a windbag or inflated with their own importance. It isn't rude, which means like offensive and shameful and disrespectful. It doesn't only care. I think all of us care about our own interests in our own lives. We're protective. That's part of an inborn thing within us. But love does not just care about its own interests. Now, I know that's heavy stuff, but think about it in this light. That's God's love for us. Think about all those things. You know, often we think about how we can practice that, but think about that as God's love. And the way God is working in us. Let me show you an example of this as something I read. A 5-year-old boy lived in an orphanage. My guess is this story is fairly old, to use the word orphanage when I came across of it. Today we would use foster families and stuff like that would be conveyed that way. And so this boy lived in an orphanage and he habitually stole from other children. Well, the superintendent of the orphanage tried talking to the boy, but it didn't work. He kept right on stealing. And so the superintendent tried all kinds of disciplines, but nothing worked. Finally, somebody on the staff said, "Hey, why don't we just lavish that boy with love?" So everyone began to show the boy that love, and suddenly the boy stopped stealing. Let me share something else with you. And I was thinking about this because I was thinking about how often we really walk in God's love. In baseball, the best players in the game typically hit the ball 3 out of every 10 tries at bat. That's why when we see the Dragons and it says they're batting 300, we're like, "Oh, that's a good batter," you know. Now, normally with statistics, we're like, "Yeah, that's not very good," you know, 30%, you know. But the best hitter ever, Ted Williams, a legendary who obsessed about the measure of the weight of his bats to the ounces, a tenth of an ounce, he only hit the ball 34 times for every 100 times he was at the plate. And I started thinking about that. You know, love is an essential game of life. And most of us strike out because the curveballs of life or the pressures of the fastballs of life weigh on us and gets the best of us. But every now and then, the impossible becomes possible. We catch a glimpse of God's love and it fills us like the song we sang, once you've experienced it, and we keep at it, and love begins to shape what we say and what we think and what we do. And if God's love is an essential way of life, I pray not only for me but for you, it transforms us into loving people who are more than 300, more than 30%, more than just a harsh gong sound. Because love is the essential way of life. Amen. Amen. Well, we're not going to greet one another. We're just going to go ahead. I'll give Carla a minute. I mean, if you want to say hi to somebody next to you, that's fine. Because I just noticed that the Sundays when we've been here, nobody's really moving around as much. And I understand that with everything going on. If you want to say hi to a couple people, you can. But we're going to go ahead and stand and get ready to sing that chorus. Oh, the glory, as we close out here in a minute. Ready to roll? Let's sing it together twice. Oh, the glory of your presence, we your temple, give you reverence, come and rise from your rest and be blessed. Together there for our benediction. The Holy One sends us forth in peace. May the love of God fill us. May the light of Christ shine through us. And may the strength of the Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. Amen.